Could open your Bibles, please, to Matthew 28 and also Acts chapter 1. Thank you, Sister Nelda, for reading my verse today. I spoke to Magda just before I came to church today, and she said that Josh had called her, let her know how things went in Łódź. Because while I'm here, he's substituting for me. He was kind enough to take my place and allow me to come. And he said that one of the sisters, her name is Christine. She speaks English very well, and so well that she gets onto your website, Gatherings in Jesus Name Oaknell, and listens to your sermons. And she says, please tell Kuba, tell me, to tell you how grateful she is and how thankful she is for your ministry, for your testimonies, and for sending out missionaries to them. And she says she realizes that probably you'll never personally meet her, but she is very, very grateful. So thank you. Yeah. Magda also sends her greetings. She was about to come. Last minute, she says, I love my babies more than I love you, baby. So I guess I'm here by myself. And but she really does miss you, and she's grateful, and she appreciates all of your prayers, all of your concerns, and all of your support, obviously. And so she sends her greetings as well, and as well as the whole church in Łódź. Let's start off in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1, 28 verse, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts chapter 1, and I like to start at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for the love and mercy that you've shown in my life. I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I thank you for loving me so much that you gave your life to deliver me from hell. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I'm humbled. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Lord, I realize what I am. And so, Lord, despite me, Lord, please bless the brethren gathered here in your name. Please don't allow me to get in your way of doing your work. I ask that you'll be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about these two passages. Obviously, we know them, Matthew 28, as the Great Commission. And this is basically Jesus' final orders as he's going back to heaven. And this is his final order to the church. He says, I'm going, And while I'm away, I want you to win the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes,
don't discriminate against anybody. If you see a creature, you preach the gospel to them. And I'm coming back to see you, and I'm coming back, and you're going to give an account. And basically, chapter 1 of Acts, we see a problem, because just like the apostles, instead of going out and preaching the gospel, we're more concerned about trying to date the rapture and trying to date His return and trying to figure out what God is going to do, when and where and how. And basically, God sent two angels, said, "Guys, what are you doing? Get on the ball. You received your order. There's no need for you to tarry. There's no need for you to stand around. Go do what God commanded you to do." And it's quite disappointing that so many of us, despite having received God's clear order, we're so concerned and so focused on different things. I mean, it seems like we're more interested in disappearing than Christ appearing, right? I mean, we got it all wrong. So, basically we have the same message, the same order commanded or restated twice. He says, go and win the world. Those are His final orders. And I remember reading several times about World War II, after it had already finished, after there had already been an official surrender, after it was already signed. 10 years later, they were still finding Japanese soldiers buried down and fighting the war that had already been finished. Because whenever they were sent out, whenever their captains and their generals and their leaders, whenever they sent them out, they said, "We don't want you to surrender." And those were the final orders that they received. That was the final word that they had heard from their captain. And so they were going to fulfill it unto the end, unto the death. God has given us our last orders. And it's been passed down throughout history like a baton. It's been passed down through different times and different ages, different circumstances. We've received it in blessing and in cursing. We've received it in a time of revival. We've received it amidst apostasy and heresy. It's been passed down consistently from Jesus Christ to now. It's passed down to the church. It's passed down to the pastor. It's passed down to the preacher, to the missionary. It's passed down to the brother, to the sister. It's passed down to every single believer in Jesus Christ, and it is our final order before Christ comes. And also, I heard somebody say this, I liked it very much. He said, basically, when Christ left, He left us two objectives. He gave us two things to do. He said, one, win the world, and two, deal with all of the problems that objective number one caused. So we're going to go out and preach the gospel and win souls, and then we have to teach them. And that's quite a mission. Anyways, we've received our last orders. And we're supposed to fulfill those orders until Christ comes, not sooner, not later, until He comes back. History is full, is polluted of men that have shed their blood, that have given their lives in order to fulfill their last orders. I mean, we're from Texas, and we remember, we're in San Antonio. So we know the Alamo. We know the story, right? 189 men standing against an army of 1,500 to the death because they were given their last order. To the death because they wanted to be honorable, to the death because they didn't want to disappoint their captain, their leader, their commander. After slaughtering them, Santa Anna said, "We've won a glorious victory." And one of his aides, Almanta, he said, "One more such glorious victory and we're finished." Why? Because you had men dedicated to fulfilling their last order. Because you had men who would not dare disappoint the captain of their army. You had men dedicated to fulfilling their rightful duty. I want to read to you a letter from Commander Travis. He was killed during this time. I'm sure most of us have already heard it, but listen to what he says. He says, "I'm besieged by 1,000 or more of the Mexicans under Santa Ana. I have sustained a continual bombardment and cannonade for 24 hours and have not lost a man. The enemy has demanded a surrender at discretion, otherwise the garrison are to be put to the sword. If the fort is taken, I have answered the demand with a cannon shot. Our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat." He goes on to say that the enemy is receiving reinforcements daily and will no doubt increase to 3,000 or 4,000 in 4 or 5 days. "If this call is neglected, I am determined to sustain myself as long as possible and to die a soldier who never forgets what is due his own honor and that of his country, victory or death. P.S. The Lord is on our side." That's a man fulfilling to the death his requirements, fulfilling to the death his final order. A man following another man because duty, because of honor, because of requirement. He shed his blood. And after that, how many of us have been inspired? After that incident, 100, 200 years ago, we still say, "Remember the Alamo!" Incredible, incredible testimony. They all sealed their commitment with their blood to fulfill their final order. I read about Napoleon when he invaded Russia. He made it all the way into Moscow. And it just so happened that Moscow had the worst winter in 50 years, and so he had to retreat. And as he's going back, the bridge, some of the bridges had been destroyed. So he commanded some of his men to get into the water, which was neck high, and start building the bridge because they had to retreat. They had to return. And if they didn't build this bridge, the whole army would have been destroyed. So he had men jumping into the river. Some of them immediately were swept away. Some of them drowned. Some of them were able to hold up the bridge. And all of the army was able to pass by. And whenever the last man passed by, Napoleon gave the order for the men to come out. But they had all stayed. None of them moved because they were frozen to the pillars of the bridge. They fulfilled their last order because a man gave the command. You see, God called us. And He's given us our last orders. And Mark chapter 4 says, let's go to the other side. The battle rages. Our vessel is being buffeted. We're going to gain water. Unexpected trials and circumstances are going to come up. But we cannot forget that we've received our last order. He said, we're going to the other side. We have to follow Him. He didn't say there wouldn't be any problems. He didn't say there wouldn't be any tribulation. He didn't say that you wouldn't be buffeted. He didn't say you wouldn't be persecuted. He didn't say that there wouldn't be loss. What He did say is that we're going to the other side. Don't forget. We're going to the other side. We should expect flak. We've declared war on the enemy. We should expect persecution. We should expect our faith to be tested. Yes, we've been called, some of us, almost, I guess, 100 years ago. Some of us, 11 years ago. We've been called at different times, but we can't abandon our post. That's right. Because of circumstance. We can't change our minds because, you know, we haven't heard from Him. We don't know what to do. We've received our order. We have to fulfill it until He comes back.
Amen.
Amen.
Some question the wisdom of staying. Some say, man, you're in Łódź. You haven't seen much fruit. You've been there for 9 years now. And the most that you can account for are 9 people. Why do you stay? Some people say, Polish people say, it can't be done. Some people say, you're wasting your time. Some people say, it's not worth it. Some people say, go back to Mexico. Some people say, go to Guatemala. Go to Romania. Go other places. Why do you stay? Because if I leave, what hope do those people have? If I leave, if I desert, if I leave my post, some other Christian is going to get discouraged and give up and desert and leave his post.
Amen.
If I leave, if I give up and desert my post, I'll dishonor the captain of my salvation who trusted me and placed me at this post and didn't feel required to give me a monthly remindment that I should be there. It's only because He's trusted me as a soldier to be there and to fill my duty.
Amen.
It's only because He's trusted you as pastor and missionary and brother and sister, as Christian, to fulfill the last order that He's given you.
Amen.
To go out and preach the gospel. Sometimes we go out and we preach and days turn to weeks and weeks turn to months and months turn to years and years have already turned to at least one decade. But they turn to decades. It's only because He's trusting us to go on our last orders. There's a questionnaire for military professional development. What are the duties of a guard? He must memorize, understand, and comply with his general orders and the special orders particular to his post. What is the first general order? I will guard everything within the limits of my post and quit my post only when I am properly relieved. Military code of conduct for you soldiers. For you Marines, for the military. I am an American fighting for the forces which guard my country and our way of life. I am prepared to give my life in their defense. I will never surrender of my own free will. If in command, I will never surrender the members of my command while they still have the means to resist. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Being confident of this very thing.
Amen.
The Lord said, I'm going. While I'm gone, win the world. Go on. Go on in your last orders.
Amen.
Sometimes we receive them and we wonder, Lord, did you really say that? Lord, are you sure you sent me to this place? Are you sure you want me here in Łódź? Are you sure you want me in Mexico? Are you sure, Lord? I found myself in Łódź not by choice. I don't even think that it was really God calling me to Łódź at all. An elder said that the church has a policy, or you started a policy at this church. Missionaries, when they go to a field, they have to work under another missionary for 2 years, and then they can work on their own. But when I went to Poland, I was working under my dad and under Joe, and they made the decision that we need to go to Łódź. So they said, go. So Josh goes to Łódź, sucker. Mike goes to Łódź, sucker. Joe goes to Łódź, gives support, and then I have to go, sucker. And I was never convinced. I was never sure. I never thought that Łódź was a place that was supposed to be my post. I wanted to go to Częstochowa. Częstochowa is the San Juan de los Lagos of Poland. Częstochowa is the Mecca of Poland. And that's where I wanted to go. I said, that makes sense. No, go to Łódź. So, in time, Joe West says, I've given you support long enough. Have a good day. Bye-bye. And he left Łódź to go to Totem. And then Josh says, you know what? I think Łódź is a better place. I'm going over there. Going over the Totem, excuse me. That's a better place. And so I'm in Łódź with Mike. And he came to the States for a deputation, and he was here for half a year. And so I had to hold down the fort, and if you think that you can do it on your own, you're stupid. There's no other way to say it. So you take a knee and you give it into the Lord's hands, and you rely and you depend on Him.
Amen.
And it was at this point that the Lord said, this is exactly where you should be. Now, I'm not talking about seeing some vision or falling down. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about a confirmation that this city needs the gospel. And so it's clear in my mind. I'm absolutely sure that the gospel needs to be preached in this city, not in Częstochowa. So Mike comes back, and we're there for about 6 months, and I'm going to meet him to preach, and in that morning, the morning that I'm going, I woke up, read the Bible, and prayed, and the Lord reconfirmed this last order. He said, Łódź needs this preacher. And I go to preach with Mike, and Mike says, listen, there's something I need to tell you. I need to go somewhere else. Let's leave. So he leaves. And so you're at this point, you just got a confirmation in the morning 6 months before, and you're like, Lord, are you sure? Are you absolutely? Did I hear you right? Maybe I read the wrong verse. Maybe I was in the wrong place. Maybe I was praying the wrong way. Are you absolutely sure? He didn't say there's not going to be trials.
Right.
He didn't say that the vessel won't gain water. He said, get in, let's go, we're going to the other side. We have to obey our final orders. He didn't say there won't be storms. Go on your last order. We need to go on our last orders until He gives us new ones. Don't change until He's given you new orders. We shouldn't take counsel with our fears or discouragements, or circumstances. What I'm saying is, we can't quit.
Amen.
We can't quit.
Amen.
I read a poem. Now, my parents know that I'm not a literature type of a guy, so the poems aren't for me. But I read this poem, and it was right on. It's very easy, very simple. I memorized it the moment I read it. It goes like this. Go on. Go on. Go on. Go on. Go on. Go on. Yeah. Just go on. Go on. Don't quit. Don't quit. See, God rewards finishing, not starting. A lot of us like to start, but then we don't have the energy
Amen.
To finish.
Amen.
We can start a project, and then it's in the garage, or it's in the yard, or it's on the desk. It's never finished.
Amen.
God's interested in the final results, not the beginning.
Yeah. That's
right. I think of Joseph as a young man receiving his order to be bowed down to by his father and his 11 brethren. That was his order. But I see Joseph over in the dungeon, in the prison. What does he say? What is he doing there? He's preparing to fulfill his final order. David said, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Hudson Taylor was over there in China for 10 years before he saw one converted soul. 10 years. 10 years without seeing one soul converted. Adoniram Judson, he was in Burma and he was persecuted and he was thrown in prison and he was tortured. And in the midst of all of that, he translated the Bible, didn't update it. You think your job is hard. He translated the Bible into Burmese. And it was the Burmese government that persecuted him, that imprisoned him, that tortured him, that later used his own Bible to teach grammar and Burmese to its own people. Go on. Go on. It was Judson that said, "If you're suffering without succeeding, it's so that someone else can succeed without suffering." He also said, "If you're succeeding without suffering, it's only because somebody has suffered before you without succeeding."
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Go on. Go on, preacher. Go on, brother.
Amen.
Go on, pastor.
Amen.
Go on, sister. Don't quit.
Amen.
Go on. The Lord gave you your final orders. Don't dishonor Him by leaving your post.
That's right.
The Lord gave you your final orders. Don't dishonor Him by turning your back on Him.
Amen.
Go on. Hold your post.
Amen.
He says, "I'm coming quick." Look at Hebrews chapter 11. You guys all know Hebrews 11. Most of us would like to be found in verse 30, seeing the walls of Jericho falling down. We would like to see and have testimonies as Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel, of the prophets. We would like to be able to subdue kingdoms and work righteousness. We like to receive promises. We would love to stop the mouths of lions. We would like to quench the fire, the violence of fire. We would love to escape the edge of the sword. We would love to be made strong out of weakness. We would love to have our children who died received to life. But look at the second part of verse 35. He says, "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These men showed an unwavering fidelity. And that is precisely what God is looking for today in each and every one of us. An unwavering fidelity. Go on. Stand your ground. Hold your post. Be the watchman that God has set you to be. Go on. You say, well, what about all of these problems? What about the... there's so much to face. Roloff said, it's not my business what God does with me. Don't be worried what God does with you. Don't worry about what He puts you through. Amen. You doubt God's plans or you question God's motives.
Amen.
Really? Go on. We're soldiers. Each and every one of us. And He's called us to go on our last orders. Amen.